Amen. You can make your way back to your seats this morning, or this afternoon, rather, at this point. It's always good to be able to spend some time in fellowship with people. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's already given us such kind invitations. We've had people inviting us to go out to eat and even doing some hunting and some fishing. Do we have any hunters or fishers in the house this morning? All right. It's been good. And I actually had somebody say, hey, have you ever tried blindfolded archery? I said, no, I haven't. And he responded and said, you don't know what you're missing. I'm sorry. It's my one joke for the day. And if you're in first service, thank you for the courtesy laugh again, because you heard it. I hear that. I appreciate that. So today, you know, it's such a unique Sunday, but even I would say in a larger sense, more than just my first Sunday serving as pastor of First Church, which I'm thankful. I recognize that we are in a very unique season as a church and in the middle of a unique season. And so I feel like up until this point, the messages that I have spoken and felt led to share have been very pointed and very directed to some specific things that we have been going through. And if you weren't here last week, we talked about grief and these pillars of scriptural terms like faith, hope, and love, and how do we deal with these things. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that message or watch that message. But today I'm actually preaching a message that I've preached before and prepared this message not specifically for the context of our church, but as I was preparing and thinking and praying even this week about what I should speak, if you can imagine, put yourself in my shoes, what am I supposed to speak? It's my first Sunday and I should have this and should have that. But to be honest, I kind of let some of those expectations just kind of fall to the wayside because I felt kind of just impressed from the Lord, if you will, to speak this message that, again, I prepared previously, but I believe it's so applicable to where we are today. And so today I want to talk about this idea. If you are following the will of God in moments in your life when maybe you are trying to do what's right, or maybe you have found yourself in the middle of a mistake and so you've corrected and you're trying to adhere to the things you feel like God wants you to do, what happens when you're doing God's will but it doesn't work out? Or what happens when you are doing what you feel like you should be doing and yet you find yourself in a difficult season of your life? Because what we want to happen is we want to know, okay, I go through something and then maybe I pray about it or I seek direction and then maybe I correct or I adhere to the word of God and I do what I'm supposed to do and then I am blessed. That's the equation, right? Those are the inputs and that's the outcome. So what happens when you're doing all the right things, you're following the voice of God, you're listening to the word of God, and yet you find yourself in a difficult place? Or even more, what if you feel like God has directed your steps, but the place you have ended up is a difficult place? What do we do? How do we handle those seasons? Now, if I were to look through scripture, one place stands out above all else that we could kind of use to encapsulate this idea. One physical location stands alone as a representation of what I want to talk about today. And so if I were to name this place, if I were to use it as a physical place, this place would be Egypt. Egypt would be the one place in scripture we can unanimously say it represents difficulty, bondage, even slavery, even these aspects and areas of life that are so difficult for us. And so what happens when you are doing what God wants you to do, but you find yourself in an Egypt of sorts? Or again, what happens when you feel like God is even directing your path? Maybe you say, Lord, I'm going to neglect my flesh. I'm going to not do what I want to do. I'm going to follow your will. And yet he sends you someplace that you would consider an Egypt. What happens then? My message title today is When God Sends You to Egypt. When God sends you to Egypt. So why would God do this? Why would God allow us to, or even direct us to places that we don't wish to be, difficult places, places where we don't see the blessing of God, places where we don't think anything could happen for us? Well, there's a couple of times in scripture where people were sent by God to a place like Egypt, and I think there's some things that we can learn from that, and although not an exhaustive list, I want to show you a couple of key places today. Did you know that Jesus was sent to Egypt? He was. As a baby, in fact. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 2, after the birth, we see the wonderful, you know, nativity scene, and we see all these great things, and Jesus is born, and the wise men come. But look at this, Matthew chapter 2, the New Living Translation, verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. Now, again, imagine this. If you're Joseph or if you're Mary, you've just been through all of the quote-unquote trial, right? You're supposed to get the blessing now. Okay, we journeyed all the way here for the census. Jesus was born in a manger. I've already grappled with the idea that this baby was conceived by God. Okay, I've gone through a lot of difficult things. Now I'm ready for the payoff, if you will, right? But no, after Jesus is born, not only that, now an angel says, flee to Egypt. That's not what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be, I receive blessing now that I've been faithful, now that I've walked a difficult journey. But no, it goes from being a blessing, being born in this area, not to blessing, but to Egypt. And so what happens when we do that in our life, when we go through this moment in our life? And so the first thing that I want to submit to you today, when I look at this very story of the early life of Jesus, I understand that sometimes God may send you to Egypt to protect you. See, Herod was after Jesus. Matthew 2:16, Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Jerusalem who were 2 years old and under. Now, how long did they stay in Egypt? We could spend a lot of time, but look at this. If Herod asked to kill all the boys who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance, so you could at least make an estimation, 2 years. Again, we would look at Egypt as a place that represents difficulty, bondage, not a place you'd want to go. Egypt is not a place for a child of God, let alone God himself. And we get so frustrated when we feel like our God-directed path leads us to a place that could hold no benefit for us, a place that we'd call Egypt. Now, you may say, well, God would never lead us to bondage. You know, we would read that he has a plans and a hope and a future for us. Yes, that's true. But this is what I want to show you today, that when Jesus was sent to Egypt, what I think is amazing about this is that not only do we understand that Egypt is a place of bondage, but actually we see it as a place of the enemy of God's people, right? This is not a place that represents God's fulfillment. And so I believe even in this, we can look at this and say, you know what? When you are in the will of God, when God is directing your steps, even the place that you don't see any blessing can be the exact place that God needs you to be. So maybe someone needs to understand today that you may feel like you're in the enemy's territory. But guess what? When you're in God's hand, even the enemy's territory can be a place of safety for you. So I know that today you may not understand why the things are transpiring in your life the way they are. You may not be able to see quite yet or understand, but I believe today someone is going to understand that, Lord, I may not like it, I may not desire it, but even in a place like this that I would call Egypt, your hand of protection can be upon me. And in fact, I believe there's probably some people in this room that you've lived through some things that now looking back, you can say, I didn't see it then, I didn't understand it at the time, but God's hand was upon me every step of the way. Is there anybody today that's a living testament that, you know what, even when I was in Egypt, God still protected me? Even when I was in the enemy's camp, God's hand was still upon me. I know you may be going through Egypt today, but guess what? God may just be protecting you from some people that wish to harm you. Because God was directed to Egypt to get out of Herod's way. So again, what may seem like the failure of your plan may actually be God thwarting the enemy's plan. Herod had a plan for Jesus, but they sidestepped it, but it took him to Egypt. So today, the first thing I want to tell you, sometimes you may be directed to places and seasons you don't wish to be. Right now, you may say, you know what? I don't know how my life turned out this way. I don't understand why I'm right here. And I can't sit here and tell you that I can give you every answer. But what I can tell you is that when you're obedient to the word of God, he can protect you wherever you go. Even in Egypt can be a place of protection. But not only that, if we keep kind of reading in this story, Matthew 2:15, said they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. This is a reference to Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. And we see, we continue in the story very quickly for the sake of time. An angel releases Joseph from Egypt and said, take your child and your mother, the mother, back to the land of Israel. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 21, it says that Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that a new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, he was afraid to go there. Then he was warned again. He was warned in a dream, and he left for the region of Galilee. So they get out of Egypt to go back, and they're warned again. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. Look at this. This fulfilled what the prophet had said. He will be called a Nazarene. So this is what's amazing to me. Not only can God protect you in Egypt, but God can use an Egypt season, an Egypt destination to fulfill his word in your life. What am I saying? I believe there's people in this room that you've prayed some prayers in your life, and maybe even some things you feel like in the spirit. You feel like, you know what? I feel like God has made some promises to me. I feel like there's some things that I'm going to do. I feel like there's some things that I'm going to have in my life. I'm going to feel like there's some things yet that I have to accomplish. And what our expectation is that those things will be accomplished or fulfilled or activated in a mountaintop season. When everything's going good, that's when I'm going to see God at work. But you know what this story tells me? This tells me that in order for the prophecy to be fulfilled, Jesus had to go to Egypt. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that there may be some things in your life that God wants to do, that God wants to activate inside of you. There's some skills. There may be some abilities, some attributes of your life, some things that you are feeling in prayer, but yet you're waiting for the mountaintop to come for you to fulfill those things. But yet even in an Egypt season, I want to tell somebody today that God is just that much at work in your darkest times, that God can fulfill his word even when you're struggling, that God can do what he wants to do and needs to do in your life. Even when you're in Egypt, his word will be fulfilled. I believe there may be some things that God has put in motion a long time ago. You may not see it yet, but he's fulfilling it even in this season. In God's purpose, in God's hand, any place can be a place of protection. You are in God's hand. He sees exactly where you are. So why else would we be, or someone be, sent to Egypt? Now we read that in Matthew chapter 2. If we skip two chapters later, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is older. And look at this, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Awesome. Love that part. Into the wilderness. Not so great. To be tempted, further worsening, by the devil. Awful. I don't know about you, but I like that first part. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Great. That's not the end of the verse. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Pretty crazy if you think about it. But if we read this now, I think it's interesting because if you remember, there's so much we could get into that we don't have time for today, but there's another time that people were tempted by Satan himself. If you remember, this was the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil. And this is what the devil loves to do. The devil loves to twist the word of God, use fragments of truth. Oh, did God, surely you're not going to die. Did God say that you would die? Right? And so what we see here is that Adam and Eve, what they failed at, Jesus came back and perfected. Jesus came as the second Adam to fix what could not be fixed. And so what I think is amazing about this is we see that in verse 2, for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. So Jesus has now been led by the Spirit at his weakest physical moment. So why would that happen? Think about it. In your life, have you ever felt that way? God, when I'm at my weakest, this is when you allow me to be tested. When I'm struggling, this is when you allow this battle to come right now. But I want you to understand what we can see and hear, because Jesus is tempted by the devil, but he brings the right weapon. If you look at this story, Jesus is being tempted, and the tempter came to him and he says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But look at in verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written. So the weapon that he brings to the battle, even when his flesh is depleted, even when he's at his weakest, is the Word of God. So somebody needs to understand today that you've got to bring the Word of God into your situation. So why would God send you to Egypt? When I look at Jesus and the temptation of Jesus, the second thing I need to understand is that God may send you to Egypt to prepare you for what's next. You see, you got to understand that Jesus walked into the situation. He was fully God, so he didn't need preparation because he was already God. What he was doing was giving us a model to follow. He was giving us a pattern to follow after. So what we need to do in our situations, maybe somebody today, you came in here, you were worried about the situations of your life. You feel depleted and weak in your flesh. You're like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to answer. What I'm telling you today is you need to walk out of here saying, it is written. I may not have the strength in myself, but I can look to the Word of God and say, it is written. There are some things in this book. I may not be able to fight the fight, but you know who can fight my battles? The Lord can fight my battles. It is written. Somebody needs to say today, it is written. I may not have the answers, but it is written. There are some things I will not turn back on. It is written. You need to understand that God is preparing you. Jesus had to go through and be tempted in all ways as we were, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. I also personally think that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness to show us that the devil's not invincible. I think we give the devil way too much credit sometimes. And we're like, oh, the devil has just been tormenting me and bothering me. But what's interesting here is, although there's this conversation between Satan and Jesus, it's not like Satan is just continuing to bother him. Now, he tempts him in several different ways, but it's a very direct exchange. Satan brings a temptation. Jesus answers with the Word of God, and that temptation is done. So what we sometimes, we feel like, oh, I'm just going to go through this, and I'm going to be drugged through this, and I got to struggle through this, and I got to fight through this. And yes, there are some things in our life that we can't just pray and then never have to deal with them again. There are some natural consequences, but you need to understand the power that resides in the Word of God. You don't have to have this back and forth tug of war all the time with the devil. You need to be resolute in your mind and say, if the Word of God says it, I can stand upon it. If this thing is written, I don't have to be tempted over and over and over again. Why? Because I have power that comes through the Word of God. But you may have to go through an Egypt to really test that to be true in your life. I personally think we spend way too much time giving the devil way too much credit. Jesus shows us that even being tempted in the most profound way, in his weakest state possible, isolated from everyone else, the Word of God always wins. If you're struggling in your life, if you don't know where to turn, but you have not been reading the Word of God, you are missing the biggest weapon at your disposal. You've got to get in the Word of God. You cannot just lean on your own understanding. You've got to get into the Word of God. And there's so many things about this. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. I'll give you one guess how many years Israel was in the wilderness after leaving Egypt. 40 years. Let's leave the exact title today for a moment and look at Israel. They've been delivered. If you look at this, people of Israel were delivered from Egypt. But look what happens next. They don't go immediately from Egypt to the promised land. They go to the wilderness. Why would God send them into a wilderness? Or things that may seem to represent in their mind some things that are worse than Egypt. They thought some of the stuff they went through was worse than Egypt. Jump back to the Old Testament, Exodus 13, 17. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. Sometimes God can't send us directly from where we were to where we need to be because we're not going to be ready for the battle. Sometimes it takes a little bit more strengthening. Sometimes we got to go through a few things so that we can understand what it takes to move forward in our life. So what am I saying? I think someone maybe needs to understand today, God, why do I have to go through battle after battle? Why am I have to go through this route? Why am I having to fight this fight over and over again? Why am I going through all these different things? Maybe you need to understand that the preparation that God is putting you through is preparing you for something even better than you can even imagine. You got to understand that, God, if I can just be faithful in the season that I'm in, even through my Egypt, that, Lord, you're preparing me. But you know what? That's not a circumstance change. That's a perspective change. So you may not go home to different circumstances today. Maybe it's your perspective about what's happening that needs to change. I'm not saying it's not Egypt. I'm not saying it's not difficult. What I'm saying is that God is using it even in the season that you're going through. God can step in and say, I'm doing something. If you will just tune your heart and tune your eyes to me, I know you may not like it. I know it may be painful, but even in the midst of this, I'm doing some things because on the other side of this are some promises that I've made to you, but you've got to weather this storm. You've got to be prepared for this, because we see the temptation of Jesus in chapter 4, but in Matthew 4 in verse 12, that heading is Jesus begins his ministry. Now again, Jesus didn't need preparation because he was God. What was he doing? He was modeling for us what we need to do. So somebody, you need to understand, you've been waiting. God, I want to be used. I want to be used. I want to do something for your kingdom. I want you to use me mightily. Well, guess what? Everyone that God uses greatly, he's got to test deeply. So before you can be used greatly, maybe you got to go through some Egypt seasons. But if you don't do well in your Egypt season, you may not see what God is trying to do. I wonder if there's anybody that you can now see the preparation of God on your life when you didn't understand it. Is there anybody here today that you can say, God, I didn't like it at the time, but you were preparing me for some things that I'm just now stepping into? God may send you to Egypt to prepare you. It may not be fun. It may be painful, but the Lord can use Egypt seasons in your life, wilderness seasons, to prepare you for what's next. Out of that, right after that, we see Jesus calls his first disciples. We see, if you read this, the Sermon on the Mount was in Matthew chapter 5. All these amazing things happen, but we see the temptation of Jesus happens first. I want to look at one more difficult Egypt journey. Joseph, we know the story, the loved son, the one given the coat of many colors, betrayed by his brothers and thrown into a pit. This is Old Testament, Genesis chapter 37, kind of picking up there. So again, think about this. Joseph was given dreams and promises from God that he thought he was going to fulfill. So imagine his surprise when he shares all these great things that he thinks God wants him to do, and his brothers are not so receptive to it. So in this case, he has a very direct word from the Lord, and yet he's betrayed. So he is thrown into a pit by his brothers, and then he's sold into slavery. So let's kind of track with the story of Joseph here. So in Genesis 37, verse 28, when the Midianite merchants came by, some merchants coming by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. So he's taken to Egypt, he's sold into slavery. Again, this is a person where he hears from God. He thinks it's going to be great. He thinks he's going to step into what, this is what I've heard from the Lord. He tells his family. And then he's sold into slavery. He goes to Egypt. Now, he's in Potiphar's house now, okay? So kind of fast forwarding through this story, just to paraphrase. He's in Potiphar's house. And if you're familiar with this, Potiphar elevates him because he's faithful. He's a good worker. But Potiphar's wife has her eye on Joseph, and she wants Joseph to come to bed with her. And so she's trying to entice Joseph. And one day he's in the house, and Potiphar's wife tries to approach him, and he runs away, but she grabs his cloak. And the Bible says he leaves his cloak behind. And so he runs away, and then she decides she can now use that. She says, I caught him red-handed. He was trying to seduce me. And so she tells her husband this lie about Joseph. And then Potiphar's so angry at Joseph, and now Potiphar throws Joseph into prison. So now I want to pause in this story. Just think about this for a moment with me. Because you may not have a Joseph story, but in our own life, if you feel like you've been faithful to God, you've been doing the right thing, is there a point when you go through a difficulty, you go through a trial, do you ask yourself, you know what? Is this worth it? Look what I get. I'm doing all these things I'm supposed to do, depriving my flesh, I'm being faithful to God, I'm coming to his house, I'm living a godly life. Look, think if you're Joseph, at what point would you say, you know what? I'm done with this. Here's the danger of a Potiphar's house. This is what happens sometimes in our life. Because Joseph, in Potiphar's house, he had an opportunity to, quote unquote, make the best of his current situation. Joseph could have had an affair with Potiphar's wife and probably kept it a secret. He could have decided, you know what? I can't control this. Look what life has thrown my way. Look, God has abandoned me. I'm here in a foreign land. I thought I heard from God, but look where I am now. I might as well just do the best I can. But in this moment, and we're going to see what happens later in the story, even when nobody could have seen him from his homeland, nobody knew, He could have kept it a secret. Joseph refused to turn back on his character. So let me ask you, in your life, when things don't go so well, when you find yourself in a difficult season, how do we handle our private character? And I truly believe the fact that Joseph, even when he could have had the best in that situation, he could have made the best of where he was at, he decided, you know what? Even if it's to my own personal detriment, I am not going to go back on my character and the person that God has called me to be. And I believe it's those kind of decisions that set Joseph up for the rest of the story. Amen. But how do we handle our private decisions when nobody's looking, when nobody's watching? And we continue through the story. So now Joseph's in prison. So again, just recapping here. He has a moment with God that he thinks is a good thing. And then his brothers betray him. He's sold to Potiphar. Then Potiphar's wife betrays him, lies on him. And now he's in prison. If you're Joseph, do you still maintain your faith? Do you still commit, no matter what, I'm going to be faithful to God? Or do you say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm in jail. I gotta find a way to survive. Just put yourself. Now again, we read the story of Joseph because we know the end. But put yourself in the middle with Joseph. What an unbelievable story, right? And so we see again. We continue to read through this story in Genesis, and now Joseph is in prison. And so we see that Joseph's in prison in Genesis chapter 40. There's two men, a cupbearer and a baker, and Joseph. They were in the house of Pharaoh. Now they're in prison and they have dreams. And Joseph interprets their dreams. And he says, the cupbearer, your dream says that you're going to be restored to the house of Pharaoh. Your head is going to be lifted up to the house of Pharaoh. It's actually kind of morbid and funny. But he says to the baker, he says, your head is also going to be lifted off of your body. It's like, oh, great. Thank you. But so we see that because Joseph is faithful to God. And so he interprets these dreams and he just tells the cupbearer, hey, don't forget me. When you get to the house of Pharaoh, don't forget that I'm here and don't forget me. Guess what? He forgets him. So now, again, let's recap one more time. Joseph, sold by his brothers to Potiphar's house, betrayed by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison. He has another opportunity, interprets the dreams of these men, forgotten by that man. Now we get to Genesis 40 or Genesis 41. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed he was standing by the Nile. So I'm not going to read that passage, but so Pharaoh has a dream and he's like, no one can figure this out. And that cupbearer remembers, oh, there's a guy in prison. I remember this guy. He can interpret your dream. So again, just imagine with me, Genesis 41:14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. So just imagine. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. So pause right there. If you're Joseph, right, and Pharaoh asks you, you have an audience with Pharaoh, you get pulled out of the pit, you have an audience with Pharaoh, and he says, you know what? I've got a problem, and no one can solve it, but I heard you can solve it. What are you going to say? I'm your guy. Absolutely, that's me. Yes, Pharaoh, I'm here. I'm Joseph. I can fix all your problems, right? Because here's the deal. Sometimes we think everything is a setup for our glory and for us to succeed. God has put me through all of this so that when the time comes, I'll get mine. I'll get what I need. I'll be blessed. I'll move forward. That's the way our human mind perceives it. But look, in light of everything I've just shared, look at the response of Joseph in this moment. His get out of jail free card is standing right in front of him. But look what Joseph says. He said, Joseph answered in verse 16 to Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So what we can learn about this is that Joseph made a decision. No matter what comes my way, no matter what situation I find myself in, no matter how dark the pit, no matter how forsaken or forgotten I feel, no matter how many people overlook me, no matter how many people betray me, I need someone to hear me today. No matter how many people forget about me, I will never compromise on who I am. And even when given the opportunity to get the glory for something,
He gives it to God. He says, you know what, Pharaoh? It's not in me. It's only God that can do it. So the third thing I want to tell somebody today is God may send you to Egypt because he's trying to promote you. Joseph did not understand at the time, but Egypt was the place that he needed to be for God to say, I'm going to rise you up even in the midst of a situation. But Joseph made a decision. The only reason that Joseph was promoted in the house of Pharaoh is because he was faithful to God despite everything else. So I can't do anything else but stand here today and be very transparent with you. And I am so blessed and I am so honored to be standing here today at this holy desk preaching to this church. And I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I've got to stand here today and say there is nothing in me that is worth leading this wonderful body. It is all God. So today I want to personally say, God, if I'm going to do anything, God, if I'm going to be a success, God, if this church is going to move forward, it's because we give you the glory. It's because whenever I've got a chance, I will stand and sing your praises. Church, I cannot lead you alone. I've got to be led by the Spirit. So today, oh God, we commit ourselves to say, Lord, we give you the glory. Every good and perfect thing comes from you, oh God. Lord, I return the glory to you. God, you alone are worthy. I am not exalted. God, I exalt you today and I thank you. Can we just do that as a church today? Can we just return some glory to God for a moment? God, you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy, God, to be praised. In Jesus' name, God, you are the only one worthy of praise. God, I am not worthy of praise today. God, I am honored to stand here, but you alone are worthy of praise. You alone are worthy to be exalted, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Sometimes God sends you to Egypt to promote you. And I'm not talking just about a promotion on your job, although I will say what this story tells me. When I look at the story of Joseph, you got to understand some things. Because we always, you know what we want to say? We want to say, God, move on my boss. God, use my boss to give me a promotion. God, you got to make a way. You got to use these people. You got to use those people. God, you need to do this. But you know what? You're so frustrated because you feel like you've been overlooked by people. You've been set aside by people. But when I look at the story of Joseph, every single person that tried to push him down, what they did not know is that in their attempt to push him down, they were actually pushing him forward exactly where God needed him to be. The only place that Joseph needed to be was in Egypt. But it took his brothers there. It took Potiphar's wife to get him there. It took the cupbearer to get him there. So what am I telling you? I'm saying despite what man may think about you, despite the people that have overlooked you, despite the people that don't understand you, when it's God's time for you to move forward, it doesn't matter what man says. God is the one that can promote you. You're worried about your finances. God doesn't need your boss to fix your finances. God doesn't need other people to think differently about you. I don't care what they think about you. When it's God's time, he'll promote you. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm talking about relationship promotion. I'm talking about the way you view yourself. Some people have been believing in the wrong narrative about you for far too long. But we got to see that Joseph had to go to Egypt to be elevated. And we see that in this moment, if you continue reading through this, you got to understand that Joseph, his brothers finally come to Egypt. There's this reuniting and they realize what's happening. And it's this moment where Joseph again could say, you know what? All of you guys, I've got all the power now. Look who's in charge now. And he can get revenge, right? In our spirit, that's what we want to do sometimes. But Joseph, later on in Genesis chapter 45, he tells him, he says, don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourself for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your life. So what you got to understand is if you keep a right perspective, even after you go through those things, even the people that meant harm against you, you can look him in the eye and say, you know what? What you meant for evil, God turned it around for good. So somebody needs a perspective change today. You've been held down far too long by other people's opinion of you. But today you need to rise up and say, you know what? They meant to destroy me. They meant to hurt me. But no matter what they meant, God used it. God used it for good. God used it for good. Think about it. Joseph said, basically, you didn't send me to Egypt. God did. You meant it for evil, but God turned it around for good. You may feel like there are people in your life that intend harm for you that have more power than you. You may feel powerless today in the face of people that seem more powerful, but don't forget the God that we serve has all the power. We serve the God that can take any situation, and turn it around for good. Joseph said, you may have thought you were pushing me down into that pit, but you were pushing me forward. God meant it for good. Will you stand with me today? Man, what does it take to have that perspective of Joseph? What does it take to have that perspective that, you know what? God can promote me, even in spite of what other people think. And again, we know Joseph. We know Joseph's character. But all along the way, there were people that had wrong opinions of Joseph. Joseph's brothers thought he was a usurper. They hated him. They threw him into a pit. Potiphar's wife made the entire house of Potiphar think that Joseph was an adulterer. All along the way, Joseph's in prison. People knew him as a prisoner. So you know what? You know what that tells me today? I don't care what people think about you. I don't care what people said about you. I don't care if you did it. You know why? Because it brought you here. You're here today. I don't know how you got here. I don't know your family story yet. I hope to get to know it. But you know what? Most of what the way we operate, most of what we do next is based on how we got here. We think the way that I'm going is the way that I'm going to go. But if Joseph would have had that perspective, it would have broken him. But think about it in your life, man, to have the faith of Joseph, to have the fortitude of Joseph, to say even sold by the people that were supposed to be closest to me. You know what? What do you do when the people closest to you are the ones that hurt you the most? That was Joseph. What do you do when you finally try to make good on a situation, Joseph, in the house of Potiphar, and even those people don't believe in him? What do you do when no one in your life believes in you? Nobody. You know what Joseph did? He maintained his character. Even when it wasn't easy. Even when he could have turned back on it. So this is what I want to ask you today. What is your Egypt? Maybe your Egypt is your own decisions. Maybe unlike Joseph, maybe you're rightfully where you are. You've made some mistakes, but you know what? I just think God's bigger than that. I just truly think that God's big enough to turn that around. Why? Because I've seen it time after time after time. We serve a God of restoration. You believe that today? Maybe you're in a position where, maybe like Joseph and Mary, you've been just been trying to do what's right, you've been trying to follow after God, and look, they got sent to Egypt. You may not know it today, but maybe God is protecting you from some things. Maybe where you are is actually exactly where you need to be, but you just need to be obedient. Joseph, it said that night. Joseph didn't wait. That night, Joseph got up and fled with his wife and child. Maybe someone today, you need to be obedient. You're like, I don't like where this is going, so I want to take matters in my own hands. I'm here today to say no. Let God protect you. Let God lead you. Don't stop now. Continue being obedient. Maybe for some of you, you're in the middle of the test and you need a perspective shift. Guess what? God is preparing you. He's not done with you. He's preparing you. But if you don't take this season and then learn the lessons it offers, you're not going to be ready for the promised land. Like the people of Israel, if you read that story, they didn't use their season well. And there's ones that missed out. It's not a doom and gloom. What I'm telling you is that God is preparing you. And finally, maybe what seems like Egypt and seems like a detrimental place is actually God positioning you exactly where he needs you to be. Joseph had to get to Egypt. And he wouldn't have got there any other way than the path he took. So I'm less concerned with the path that you have been taking to get to where you are. I'm more concerned with what you do now. So right now, would you just close your eyes to have a little just moment of spiritual privacy with you and the Lord? And I want to pray over you, and then I'm going to invite you to the front here in a moment. Because I believe there are people in Egypt in all different places. Lord, I pray right now for people today, God, that are struggling in different ways. God, maybe they don't understand where they are. Maybe they've made decisions and they're here today saying, God, why am I here? What happened? How did I get here?
But Lord, even in this, you have a purpose. Lord, I want to specifically right now pray over someone that is wearing a spiritual mask of sorts, that they know all the right words to say, they know all the right greetings to give, but inside they feel like they're in Egypt, forgotten and lost. Lord, I pray today, God, that you can begin to allow them to take that mask down, that people can see them for who they truly are, because we will love them and we will see them and we will help them. God, I pray that somebody today, maybe they don't understand where they're going, but Lord, or what's happening or why they've been going through the trials they've been going through, and they're ready to give up on you. But Lord, I pray once again, they can see that you're preparing them, that you're not done with them, that you're not leaving them. And finally, Lord, I pray for someone that they've been overlooked, they've been forgotten, they've been rejected by everyone they can imagine. And yet, God, what you are doing actually is positioning them, but it's going to be up to us to not take the glory. Lord, our temptation is to take the glory for ourselves. But Lord, if we can return the glory to you, you will elevate us. It may not be a financial elevation. It may not be what we see in the natural. But if we can remain faithful to you, you will take us exactly where we need to go. In the name of Jesus. If the Lord has been speaking to you in this message, I want to invite you to come down to this front and pray with us right now. Would you make your way out of your pew and say, Lord, I want to receive what you have for me. I want a perspective shift. And if you don't feel comfortable, you can stay right where you are, but I want to encourage you to pray. And after service, I'd love to see you in the lobby. But in the name of Jesus, I begin to declare, yes, that's good. I declare there are people, God. They've been going through an Egypt season, but Lord, they're going to see what you see, God. They're going to see some things that you have for them. Yes, that's it. Maybe your season, you don't understand if there's ever going to be an expiration date, but I declare just as there's a beginning date, there is an expiration date. You may not see it right now. You may not quite understand it, but in the name of Jesus, I believe there can be a shift in your spirit to say, you know what? I resolve that no matter what happens, I'm not turning back on my character. I'm not turning back on who God has called me to be. I will have what God has promised me, but it may not be the way I want it. I may have to go through a valley to see it. I may have to go through some trials to believe it. But today, God wants to shift your perspective that you will see it, that you will come out, that you will conquer. Oh yes, can we pray together? Can we pray today all across this room?
You take with me.